Before I begin, I just want to say, Michael, I will pay your moving expenses if you'll just come back here.
Amen.
Yeah. Test me. Don't tempt you. That's a good introduction to the sermon today. As I was getting ready this morning, I like to listen to the news on WTOP. And as I was listening to the news this morning on WTOP, there was an announcement. And the announcement was that at the Frederick Fairgrounds today, there is a bacon beer festival. All the bacon you can eat and all the beer you can drink for $45. 40 different kinds of bacon and 100 kinds of beer. And I said to Elizabeth, of all the days to be preaching on temptation. Today we talk about the Mount of Temptation in our series about mountains in the Holy Land. This is not a mountain that we want to climb. This is not higher ground that we want God to plant our feet on. But this is the easiest mountain of all for all of us to climb, the Mount of Temptation. We're expert mountain climbers when it comes to temptation. Now, the Mount of Temptation itself is located in Jericho. It's right by the Dead Sea. It's a very stark mountain in the wilderness, tall and rugged. Now, to be very clear, in the gospel account of the temptation that we read about in Matthew 4 today, it does not say that there was a mount of temptation or that the temptation took place on this mountain until you reach the climax of the story. You see, the story begins that Satan led him into the wilderness and there he tempted him. And then the story goes on that the second temptation took place in Jerusalem on another mountain. And finally, it says in the third temptation, the climax, that Satan took him to a high mountain. And that's the mountain that commemorates this story in Matthew chapter 4. Why a mountain? Well, I've already said that it ends with a mountain, but here are four reasons. The climax of the temptation account, the climax, is on a mountain. Secondly, these three temptations took place immediately after Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River. And this mountain is located adjacent to the place where Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River. It says in the Bible that Jesus withdrew into the wilderness, and this mountain is definitely into the wilderness. And it's also one of the tallest, most impressive mountain peaks in that area. Now, I'm sure you know this passage very well. Satan first tried to weaken Jesus' resolve by tempting him with food, a basic need of life. And then he tempted him for self-preservation. But then the climax that I keep mentioning comes in Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verse 8. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. The view is beautiful on the top of Mount of Temptation. All this I will give to you, he said. Look, all this I will... Have you ever played Publishers Clearinghouse Lottery? All this I will give to you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Satan offered him all the riches of the world, and that is probably one of our strongest temptations, especially in this land in which we live, flowing with milk and honey. But the price was too high. He wanted Jesus to worship him and not Jehovah God. And we read in the Bible that Jesus got angry. How do we know he got angry? Because of the way the original language was written. And in your English translation in the NIV, if that's what you're using, you will see an exclamation point. Jesus didn't say, he shouted, "Away from me, Satan! For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." I like the way one writer put it about the temptation and the relation to a mountain. He said, the first temptation could have taken place at the bottom of the mountain. Throw yourself down from these city walls. The second temptation, I'll give you all these, the second temptation was throw yourself down from the mountain. It could have taken place on the side of the mountain. The third temptation took place on the top of the mountain. And that's the way temptation is for you and for me. It often begins at the bottom of the mountain, the basic needs of life. And then it proceeds. We go up to the side of the mountain, and it proceeds to things that, not that we need, but things that we want. And then finally, we reach the top of the mountain, the most severe temptation of all. What or whom do you worship? What or whom do you worship? All of us at every age level struggle with temptations. Now, Christian author Ann Ortlund wrote a story that I think really captures this. Let me read it. Toad baked some cookies. These cookies smell very good, said Toad. He ate one. And they taste even better, he said. Toad ran to Frog's house. Frog, Frog, cried Toad. Taste these cookies that I have made. Frog ate one of the cookies. These are the best cookies I've ever eaten, said Frog. Frog and Toad ate many cookies, one after the other. You know, Toad, said Frog, with his mouth full, I think we should stop eating. We will soon be sick. You are right, said Toad. Let's eat just one last cookie. And then we will stop. Frog and Toad ate one last cookie. There were many cookies left in the bowl. Frog and Toad ate one very last cookie. We must stop eating, cried Toad as he ate another. Yes, said Frog, reaching for a cookie. We need willpower. What is willpower? Asked Toad. Willpower is trying hard not to do something you really want to do, said Frog. You mean like trying hard not to eat all these cookies? Asked Toad. Right, said Frog. Frog put the cookies in a box. There, he said. Now, we will not eat any more cookies. But we can open the box, said Toad. That's true, said Frog. Frog tied some string around the box. There, he said, now we will not be able to eat any more cookies. But we can cut the string and open the box, said Toad. That is true, said Frog. Frog got a ladder. He put the box on a high shelf. There, said Frog, now we will not eat any more cookies. But we can climb the ladder and take the box down and cut the string and open the box and eat some more cookies, said Toad. That is true, said Frog. So Frog climbed the ladder and took the box down from the shelf, and he cut the string and he opened the box, and Frog took the box outside. He shouted in a loud voice, "Hey, birds! Here are the cookies!" Birds came from everywhere, and they picked up all the cookies in their beaks, and they flew away. Now we have no more cookies to eat, said Toad. Not even one. Yes, said Frog, but we have lots of willpower. You may keep it all, Frog said Toad. I'm going to go home and bake a cake. That story just reinforces a famous quote, I can resist anything except temptation. James 1, 14 through 15, but each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. What direction should I take this sermon, Lord? Here's what the Lord said, and here's the zinger. I want you to direct the rest of the sermon toward senior citizens. Why senior citizens? Why not? And look around. That's the majority of us. So I'm going to speak to the majority of us today. Does that mean those who are not senior citizens can sigh in relief? Nope, it doesn't. According to the statisticians, by the year 2025, and that's just about 10 years from now, over 65% of the people over 65 will outnumber teenagers 2-1 in 10 years. Wow. So I'm going to speak to the majority of us. I'm sure that most of us have heard those lists, you know you're old when. You've heard those? I think I've gotten them all in email. I picked out some that I hadn't heard before. You know you're old when you try to straighten out the wrinkles in your socks and discover you're not wearing any. You know you're old when you come to the breakfast table and you hear snap, crackle, pop, and you're not eating cereal. You know you're old when your back goes out, but you stay home. You know you're old when you step off the curb and then you look again to make sure the street is still there. You know you're old when the pharmacist is your best friend. You know you're old when it takes twice as long to look half as good. That's enough, isn't it? When we age, our temptations shift from sins of the flesh to sins of the spirit. First one I want to talk about is this. Seniors are tempted to be critical. No. Now, that's not confined to older people, of course, but it just seems like it smells worse with older people. Criticism. Let's face it. In our normal days of aches and pains, and when you put together all the losses that older people have experienced in life, it's easy to understand how seniors can grow into a negative state of mind. It just happens. It creeps up on us. Our bodies get fatter while our patience gets thinner. Doctors have written journals, and they say that a critical spirit actually accelerates the process of dying. Ask God to help you to harvest the fruit of patience, the Holy Spirit fruit of patience. Colossians 3, beginning in verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Here's the second one. Senior citizens are tempted to feel underappreciated. The devil whispers in your ear, you don't get respect anymore. He says, make some noise so that they will remember you're here and what you're capable of doing. I want to remind you of the kind of respect that Jesus Christ received when he walked around the Sea of Galilee and in Jerusalem. No respect, despised and hated. How did he handle it? He humbled himself. 1 Peter 2, verse 17. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God and honor the King. Here's another one. Senior citizens are tempted to retire spiritually. Here's what the devil may be whispering in your ear. You've been there, done that. You deserve to sleep in on Sunday mornings and let somebody else take care of the church. There's nothing in the Bible about retiring from anything, but there's a lot of things in the Bible about never retiring from spiritual things. It's understandable when we sometimes feel like we need a break. I mean, the body is giving out, right? The body is tiring. It's dying. And sometimes we need a break. But we should never, ever stop serving the Lord. You may not be able to dig the ditches anymore, but you may be able to encourage the diggers and pray for the diggers, and you may even be able to help them know how to dig a better ditch. Revelation 2, verse 10. This is a revealing scripture. Listen carefully. It says, be faithful even to the point of retirement, and I will give you the crown of life. No, it doesn't say that. It says, be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. Never retire from God. Never retire from God. I heard about a man named Sam. He recently turned 90 years old, and he plays the trombone in his church orchestra. And he said to someone, I must be crazy. I'm 90 years old, and I just bought a new trombone. And his wife said, you know what the doctor said to him? He's healthy as a horse, partly because he's been playing that dang trombone all his life and exercised his lungs. You may not be able to play the trombone, but you can sing. You can make a joyful noise. Exercise your lungs for the Lord and sing to God. Seniors, we sometimes are critical. Sometimes we feel underappreciated, and sometimes we tend to retire spiritually. Here's the next one. Seniors are often tempted to be inflexible. Every generation experiences change. But you know what? Our generation seems to be experiencing not the winds of change, but the hurricane of change. The changes just keep coming. On the television show 60 Minutes, Andy Rooney, do you remember Andy Rooney on 60 Minutes? Andy Rooney said this, life is like a roll of toilet paper. The closer it gets to the end, the faster it goes. There's a temptation to long for the good old days. But I think all of us who have really examined it can say the good old days weren't really as good as we remember them sometimes. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 10. Do not say, why were the old days better than these? Did you know that was in the Bible? Do not say, why were the old days better than these? For it is not wise to ask such questions. There. God said it, that settles it. Now here's another one. Seniors are tempted sometimes to be pessimistic. If that's you, perhaps you need to hear this testimony. There were four women living in a retirement home. They were playing cards in the lobby. An older man walked through the door that they had never seen before, and the first woman said, are you new here? And he said, yes, this is my first day. The second woman said, where did you come from? He lowered his head and he said, I came here right out of prison. The third lady said, what were you in for? He said, I murdered my wife. And the fourth woman's face lit up and she said, so you're single then? There's always room for optimism. Claim Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of young people. No, it doesn't say that. God works for good of all his people whom he loves. I'm not finished. Seniors are often tempted to have more regrets than younger people. Why? Because they've had more time to mess things up. The bigger your failures, the bigger your God. The bigger your failures, the bigger your need for a bigger God. Isaiah 1:18, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are as red as crimson, they shall be like wool. Just one more. Seniors are tempted to worry. They worry about their health. They worry about their children. They worry about their grandchildren. They worry about their ability to continue to live independently. Some are tempted to hoard their money. Some are tempted to turn to alcohol or medications to try to find peace. Here's an illustration that may be helpful. Have you ever watched a bowler throw a bowling ball down the alley? After they have released that ball, they talk to it. They contort their bodies. They wave their arms. They get on one foot and they hop from side to side. They throw their hands in the air and they just create this tremendous fit, all in vain, trying to change the direction of that ball. It doesn't work. Once you've let go of it, worrying can't change anything. Easier said than done, but that's true. Matthew 6:27. Who of you by worrying can add one single hour to your life? Brothers and sisters, when you climb the mount of temptation, and you will, remind yourself of how much energy it takes to climb to the top of that mountain. And remember the wonderful truth that you have a Savior who is stronger than you, who is capable, a Savior who can show you a better way than climbing that mountain. I'm reading from Titus chapter 2, beginning in verse 2. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love, and in endurance. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Now, to end this, several of you, dozens of you, and people outside this fellowship have sent me an email containing what I'm about to read. I've been saving it for the right day, and finally, for those who've been asking me to share this, here it is. Jesus loves me, this I know, though my hair is white as snow, though my sight is growing dim, still he bids me trust in him. Though my steps are oh so slow, with his hand in his, I'll go on through life. Let come what may, he'll be there to lead the way. Though I am no longer young, I have much which he's begun. Let me serve Christ with a smile, go with others the extra mile. When the nights are dark and long, in my heart he puts a song, telling me in words so clear, have no fear, for I am here. When my work on earth is done, and when life's victories have been won, he will take me home above, then I'll understand his love. I love Jesus. Does he know? Have I ever told him so? Jesus loves to hear me say that I love him every day. Yes, I love Jesus. Yes, I love Jesus. Yes, I love Jesus. I tell him when I pray. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we do love you with all our heart, and all our soul, and all our mind. And Lord, you know that we are so prone to climb that ugly mountain. And I pray that you will help us in our weakness, that we may reflect the glory and the love of Jesus Christ in our lives to everyone. And Lord, help us to remember that we have made a commitment to you. So, Lord, as we end this service, may we renew that commitment to you, our closest friend and brother. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.